Hey guys, welcome back to the Vince Salerno podcast. Need to clear my throat there. As always, I'm your host, Vince Salerno, here on this lovely episode 75. I'm recording on a super rainy day, and it's 8 in the morning. I woke up at 7:30 this morning to prep for today's episode. Once again, the constant struggle of being consistent with this show when it's just myself producing it and all that. But I'm trying. So I've adopted a new schedule, and hopefully that'll work out for us. All right, so today we're going to be talking about three news stories that have caught my eye. They range from, well, I'm not going to talk about them in the order that they were released. I'm going to talk about them in the order of how I feel about them. So there's one, I think, really good story that came, good thing that happened this week, this past week. One sort of goodish, baddish thing, and then one horrible thing that I've talked about before, at least on Twitter, but never on the podcast, I think. So this will kind of be a first, I think. But yeah, that's what we're doing. So we're talking about first. Let's start with the. I'll tell you what. Let's go. Medium, not so good, not so bad news. Let's go bad news, and then we'll go good news, and we'll end on a high note. So the good news, but not bad. Good news, but bad news. Quentin Tarantino is still directing his final film. The bad news is, apparently it's not going to be The Movie Critic, which I'm very upset about. So let's take a look at this article. Deadline. Quentin Tarantino drops The Movie Critic as his final film. So let's read through some of this. I know most of the details, but let's see if there's new details that I didn't know about. So exclusive. Oh yeah, okay, this is from Deadline. Quentin Tarantino's movies are always full of surprises. And here's one about The Movie Critic we did not expect. Deadline can reveal that Tarantino has dropped the film as his 10th and final project. He simply changed his mind, Deadline has been told. This is the real kicker, the thing that really disappoints me. Tarantino is going to have Brad Pitt star as the principal star, which would have marked their third teaming after Inglourious Basterds and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There were rumors that many of the cast from his past films might take part, and Sony was prepared to make the film after doing such a superb job with the last one. Okay, well, that's not the news I thought they were going to say. Let's see. Tarantino had rewritten his script, delayed start of production. This is his 10th and final film, and Tarantino simply decided The Movie Critic will not be it. Surprise, this is the biggest surprise to Tarantino fans since years back when Deadline revealed that he had shelved The Hateful Eight. Yeah, I remember that. So this isn't the first time Tarantino has shelved the project, claiming, I'm not going to do it, and then deciding to do it. So I'm not convinced that he's fully done with this. They're saying he had a change of heart. He will not be moving forward with the project. Sources close to director said he's changed his mind and is going back to the drawing board to figure out what his final movie will be. Gained a lot of momentum when it was announced that Brad Pitt would be joining the film. Hopes of shooting in 2024, that is. He said that the movie was set in California the year of that film's release of Rolling Thunder, which was 1977, and that is based on a guy who really lived but never really was famous and used to write movie reviews for a porno rag. Not sure I'm a fan of that. Okay, I guess it doesn't reveal it in this article here, but I believe I read somewhere that not only was Brad Pitt supposed to come back for the film, but he was supposed to play his character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Cliff Booth, which would have been really cool to see because I love that movie. I love that movie so much. In fact, is it here? Do I have it close by? Is it within... is it within my reach? No, it's not. Shoot. Okay. Sorry. Quentin Tarantino made a novelization of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And it's supposed to be the super intricate book that not only tells the story from the movie, but also goes into backstories and side plots and stuff like that. It's very, very expansive of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood universe. And I'm kicking myself because I thought I'd have it on my bookshelf over here and I don't see it. And I don't know where it is. Oh, you know what? It's in my bedroom. That's where it is, because I have a stack of books that I'm trying to work through, and that's in that stack. So, shoot, I should have thought of that. I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's a great love letter to Hollywood. Great characters. Tarantino just has the best characters in his movies. They're just fun. Hearing that this would have been set in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood universe, for lack of a better word, would have been really exciting to hear, or was really exciting to hear. Also, Tom Cruise was going to be in this movie. He was in talks for a role in this film. Now, I hope that somehow Tom Cruise is still in Tarantino's final movie. It's just a shame that it won't be The Movie Critic, because, I mean, I'm not super jazzed about the whole movie critic writing for a porno rag. Not appealing to me at all. But, you know, I think it could have been a good one. But hey, look, he canceled The Hateful Eight, and then he turned it into a play, or did a live read, and then he's like, oh, you know what? I changed my mind. And so maybe he'll change his mind. Who knows? I hope that he's got a just as dynamite idea for this final film of his. I heard a lot of people on Twitter saying, why is he still committed to doing 10 films and done? Like, why isn't he just like, your final film doesn't define your work or your body of work or who you are, or what you've done with your life. And while I agree, I do respect his commitment to going out on top. You know, I think, you know, there are a lot of filmmakers that have, you know, kept doing what they love in filmmaking, and sometimes their body of work is not as great. But, you know, it's all based on the person. So I don't necessarily agree that Tarantino has to retire at 10 films and go out on top. You know, he could be directing films for the rest of his life, and even if they're of lesser quality, we'd still be discussing them and enjoying them to a certain degree. So I don't necessarily agree with that, but hey, look, the man's a fantastic filmmaker, a fantastic artist. He deserves to go out the way he wants to go out. And we also know that he's not planning to retire from film and television and the entertainment industry. He's just retiring from making movies. He wants to make television. He wants to write plays. And that's very telling when you watch The Hateful Eight, because The Hateful Eight, I love that movie because it, for lack of a better word, it plays out like a play. And I think if that were to be a play instead of a movie, it would also be in a more, it would almost be in a more appropriate format than in film. But that's not to say that I don't love the film as it is, and it's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. One of the best Westerns out there, absolutely, as far as modern Westerns go, at least. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what Tarantino comes up with next. If it's true that this is not going to be his final film, what will be? Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's Kill Bill 3. I am not one of the people who's itching to see Kill Bill 3, partly because I think it's a closed story. And if you know anything about Kill Bill, you know the only reason why there's two parts is because the movie was shot as one movie and they made it into two. Sorry, lightning strike. There's a big storm going on outside. I just want to make sure that we don't lose power. I think we almost did for a second. Okay, let's keep going. All right, so now let's start with the bad news. I'm not very happy with this news. Doctor Who Chudigawa, Russell T. Davies, they're back, baby. And they're here to continue to ruin Doctor Who. You know, okay, so let me start by saying I've seen the 60th anniversary. I was going to do a review of the 60th anniversary, but I feel like everything that needed to be said about it was already said by people who articulated it better than I could, so I just kind of bowed out. But let me just say, I think as far as television goes, the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who is the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Right out the gate, you're told that Russell T. Davies is using Doctor Who as it has been used in the past few years for political and gender LGBTQ indoctrination and propaganda. Doctor Who has become a full-bore victim of the culture war, and it's a shell. Not even a shell. It's a vapor of what it used to be. It's absolutely disgraceful what's happened to Doctor Who. Gone is the heroic, quirky scientist man, and in its place is in its place is a person who is supposed to be a figurehead for the message. And I like Chudigawa. I think he's a great actor. Nothing that I've seen makes me think he's a bad actor. He's just not a great Doctor Who. And the way that Russell T. Davies is using him, this over-sexualized, like, male model style version of Doctor Who, it's not Doctor Who at all. And given the magazine covers I've seen of him promoting the show, it's absolutely not something I'd want my kids to watch. I'm sure when I was watching it, I'm sure my parents wouldn't want me to watch this. It's mind-boggling to think that this is what kids should be able to watch. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I know you're going to say, but there's been gay characters in Doctor Who before. You never complained about it before. It wasn't indoctrination. It's a different time. You could do that in a way that was subtle and technically made sense for the characters, and no one complained about it. Now, I'm Catholic, and I think homosexuality is a sin. Sorry, but I do. I don't hate anybody. You know, love the sinner, hate the sin. Everyone's got their own salvation to work out on their own. I hope and pray that they do, with fear and trembling. But that doesn't mean I'm just going to be like, yeah, I think that's okay. I don't think Jack Harkness being gay in Doctor Who was, or bisexual or pansexual, whatever the heck he was, I don't think that was a good choice. I don't think having Madame Vastra and Jenny in a underaged, mixed species, same-sex relationship was incredibly bizarre and not appropriate for children. I didn't like it, but it wasn't in your face. Whereas this is just absolutely, they're lecturing the Doctor on pronouns. They're lecturing him on not being a woman anymore, because the Doctor being a woman is much better than the Doctor being a man, because men suck. This is coming from a man, Russell T. Davies, one of the greatest showrunners of Doctor Who ever. And it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Topsy-turvy. Absolutely topsy-turvy Doctor Who is what we're watching. And this article, I haven't read the article, but I saw the magazine covers of, I stand by this, the worst Doctor Who costumes ever. I understand a kilt is not a skirt. A kilt is not a feminine piece of clothing. But it sure as heck looks like it. You see the Doctor twirling around in a nightclub. What else do you want me to think? What do you want me to think? You want me to think that the Doctor is a gender-neutral alien who, yes, has the body of a man, but dresses like a woman. That's what it is. That's what it is. So here's the article for Entertainment Weekly. A new regeneration inside Chidi Got Was Doctor Who. The 60-year-old franchise is kicking off a new era as Got Was 15th Doctor takes control of the TARDIS. He's technically not even the 15th Doctor. He's a new Doctor. Because the stupid bi-generation separated the old Doctor and gave birth to this new, spry, fabulous Doctor. Oh my gosh. It's absolutely stupid. Absolutely dumb. I was 100% on board with Chidi Got Was as a Doctor until I saw what they were going to do with him. And it's just a doubt. It's we had hope. You know, I haven't seen Jodie Whittaker's run of the Doctor, so I'm not going to judge her performance or her run. Although I haven't heard great things. But based on the fan reaction, we went from here with Peter Capaldi, and then we went down to here with Jodie Whittaker, and we had a little bit of hope with David Tennant returning, Russell T. Davies coming back, and now we're down to here. Like, you can't even see how far down we've gone with Doctor Who. It's dead as a doornail. Okay. Let's take a look at this article. Okay, you hear the 15th Doctor long before you see him. He's a misty March day in London, where Doctor Who star Chidi Got Was has traded the TARDIS for a Entertainment Weekly cover shoot, unveiling a new peek at his time-traveling, two-hearted hero. In a few moments, he'll zoom past on his way to the shoot's oversized clock set, just a cackling blur in a TARDIS blue kilt. Before lining up the soundstage with impressive dance moves. When asked to... Oh, yeah, because the Doctor loves to dance like a at raves and nightclubs. Gosh. Okay, we get it. The studio. Okay, here's the costume. I'm sorry. I don't like this. What is he wearing? He doesn't look like Doctor Who. This doesn't look heroic. This doesn't look quirky. This doesn't look like a quirky scientist alien. Is it unusual? Yeah, I'm sure an alien would dress like this, I suppose. But what am I supposed to think looking at the kilt? The skirt. I'm sorry, it doesn't look like a kilt. And this jumper. It doesn't look like Doctor Who. I'm sorry, it doesn't look like Doctor Who, and I still think that Sonic Screwdriver is one of the worst Sonic Screwdrivers ever to be seen. Okay, Got Was has a lot to laugh about after stealing scenes in Sex Education, and Barbie, the 31-year-old actor, is launching his next act, playing the titular Time Lord in BBC's legendary sci-fi series Doctor Who. Well, it's not going to be legendary anymore after they get canceled after these next two seasons. He's now taking full control after the Christmas special, and you know what? I'm probably the only person who will say this. I thought the song, the Goblin King song, whatever that was, I actually thought that was a pretty good moment. I thought, okay, one, Chidi Got Was got a great voice, and two, it, to me, it makes sense that the Doctor would, you know, comes up with unusual ways to get out of scrapes and situations, and It just feels right that the Doctor would sing. If he could sing, the Doctor would sing to get himself out of a scrape. I'm not so sure about the whole rope, talking to rope thing. That's... No. Bigger budget, bigger platform, bigger scrutiny. Got Was admits he was super anxious. I almost didn't even leave my house. No, you should run. You should... Chidi Got Was, you should run, because what they're going to do to you and the character... You don't want to be around for it, and you don't have to be a part of this. So run! You should have stayed in your house, man! You don't want to be part of this? Even now, he can feel his muscles tightening as the new season's air date approaches. I was really cautious about getting it right throughout filming. Blah, 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 blah. It's 60 years worth of legacy and 60 years worth of a show that people have loved and watched at their, with their families. It lives in people's hearts. I really wanted to protect that. You wanted to protect that? The 60th anniversary, the 60th legacy of Doctor Who? This show is dead, beyond dead, beyond coming back, because of what you've chosen to be part of, what Russell T. Davies is doing to the show. You guys have protected nothing. You've destroyed this show. It's almost beyond repair. It's never going to come back, at least not for a long time. That's rich. That's rich. I don't blame Gatwa for Shitty Gatwa for most of this, you know? I mean, he is saying that he wants the show to be a representation of his pride and all of pride and all that and diversity and inclusion and, you know, all Hollywood talking points. But Russell T. Davies is the one making these decisions and choosing to destroy this show beyond repair. So I'm mostly upset with Russell T. Davies, not Shuri Gatwa. I think Shuri Gatwa is a great actor. I just don't think he's doing a great job as the Doctor, and I don't think his costume choices are great. Yeah, he had David Tennant to usher him in. We had a great bait and switch where he was basically emasculated for almost the entire thing. Reinvention. What is this? What is this? Why did this go from Doctor Who to Vogue? Are we marketing cologne? What is this? Okay, you know, I actually think this costume is pretty cool. I don't like the jumper with the V-neck and the necklaces he's wearing. It's very feminine. But the trench coat is cool. The trousers are cool. The shoes are all right, I guess. Everything else just doesn't look Doctor Who-ish. Yeah, what are we doing? You're marketing a kid's show, not... This is absolutely... Sorry. I don't love this. That's fine. If this was his costume, he just looked like this for the whole show. That's great. That's a good Doctor Who look. That's a good look for him. Okay, I'm not going to go through this whole thing. Okay, actually, I want to look up something else. So, in case you're still thinking that Shuri Gatwa is a good role model for kids, to be put on a kid's show, to be specific, let me just show you Doctor Who, a family show. I have nothing against Shuri Gatwa. He wants to go around parading in weird latex and sexual poses like that and going on gay magazines. That's fine. But this is a family children's show for families. This is the biggest gripe I have. I mean, beyond just destroying the character beyond repair, Doctor Who is a family show. It was made as a family show from the get-go. And everything that you're doing is not conducive to most families that want to just watch something that's safe for their kids, maybe a little scary, maybe a little spooky, but a fun family affair. And this ain't it. I'm not sure I'm ever going to talk about Doctor Who again. I'm definitely not watching this reboot. It's just what it is. It's a reboot. We're not continuing from the legacy of Doctor Who. This is literally season one. Like, they're starting over because Russell T. Davies has to have a clean slate. Because he needs to start over again, so that he can make a worse version of what he used to make. Nothing makes sense. None of this makes sense. We got one of the greatest showrunners of Doctor Who history to come back, and he's here to make things worse. Well, I'm done with Doctor Who. I just am. I'm gonna finish watching the Peter Capaldi run. We're currently working through Doctor Who right now. We're on Matt Smith's run. We're on the 50th anniversary season, which is my favorite era of Doctor Who, and that 50th anniversary special is my favorite episode. That's how you celebrate legacy of Doctor Who. I just realized I'm not looking at my sorry guys. Yeah, I'm gonna work my way through that with my wife, and I'm going to finish Peter Capaldi's run, and I'm just gonna be done with Doctor Who. I may watch some episodes of Jodie Whittaker just because I'm curious, and I want to have my own opinion, my own take on her run, because I think Jodie Whittaker is a great actress. I don't know about her Doctor. I just don't. And everything I've seen post Jodie Whittaker, the 60th anniversary, Trudy Gotwa, Russell T. Davies, it's not Doctor Who anymore. It's gone. It's just absolutely gone. Now, were there elements of these past four episodes, these past four specials that have been great? Yeah, like I said, I think Trudy Gotwa was a good actor. I think he's got the acting chops to play the Doctor. I think he did a good job with the singing, the singing part in the Christmas special. That's about it. I stand to this opinion. I think the 14th Doctor's costume is one of the best costumes we've gotten in Doctor Who history. I think his screwdriver, the sonic screwdriver, is the best sonic screwdriver we've gotten in Doctor Who history. I even liked elements of the giggle and Wild Blue Yonder. That's it. Rip Doctor Who. It's dead. It's not coming back. And if it does, I will be so happy. But it's not. It's been taken over by people who understand it and still are using it for the message. So, bye, Doctor Who. Thanks for nothing. No, thanks for a lot of things, but sad to see you be treated this way. All right, well, let's pick this back up and let's talk about something happy, something positive, at least that I'm excited about. I know there are a lot of fans of this particular thing that have gripes, but I am excited for it. And that is the first trailer for Transformers 1. Transformers 1 is a prequel film to the general Transformers lore. I don't know if it's a prequel film to specifically the Michael Bay movies. I'm assuming it's not. I mean, I guess it could technically be, but it's like thousands of years in the past, so it's a prequel. It follows a young Optimus Prime, a young Megatron, Bumblebee, and a character I've never heard of named Alita, being played by Scarlett Johansson. Cool. Young Optimus Prime, whose original name is Orion Pax, he's played by Chris Hemsworth. Megatron's original name, D-16, he's being played by Brian Tree Henry. And Keegan-Michael Key is playing Bumblebee. A lot of people don't love the casting choices for this film. I actually think Chris Hemsworth is a great choice for Optimus Prime. I think he's definitely got an American accent. He's trying to do a subtle riff on Peter Cullen's Optimus Prime, which I appreciate. I think he sounds great. I think I want to hear what Brian Tree Henry does with Megatron, because he's kind of doing just a straight Brian Tree Henry, it sounds like. I want to hear like a menacing Megatron from him, and I'm sure we'll get that in it. Because I'm not a huge fan of him, but I think he's a good actor. I love Keegan-Michael Key. He's one of my favorite comedians. I don't know what they were thinking casting him as Bumblebee. I see Bumblebee as kind of a younger guy. I think they got Dylan O'Brien to voice him in the Bumblebee movie. I don't know why they didn't get him to voice him in this movie, or at least someone like that to voice him in this movie. But you know what? Maybe it'll grow on me. You know, I don't want to count out Keegan-Michael Key. I definitely think he's hilarious, and I think he's going to be the comic relief for this movie. So I have no gripes with that. Scarlett Johansson sounds like Scarlett Johansson. I've never seen her. I've never heard her in an animated movie outside of the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. And she's a great actress, so I'm sure she'll do great. She sounds great in the movie already. Anyways, I don't know much about the story. It's just a general origin story of the Transformers. Optimus Prime and Megatron, they were brothers. They were best friends. Kind of a Moses Ramses vibe I get from this. Like they're going to start out close, and one's sort of the rebellious troublemaker. But, you know, courageous leader. The other is kind of a rule follower, worried about, you know, upsetting the system, so to speak. And they both get set on different courses and become sworn enemies. So I if that's the crux of the movie, I'm excited to see that. I want to see, you know, a dark splintering off of two very close friends who see a certain situation differently. I think I'd be less excited if the person who is directing it was not directing it. Josh Cooley, who directed Toy Story 4, he's a Pixar veteran, he's behind this movie. I know people have their opinions on Toy Story 4. I think Toy Story 4 is a darn near perfect movie, perfect sequel. In hindsight, I don't love what they did to Buzz Lightyear in that movie. I think that was a big mistake. But I love Toy Story 4. I think it's a great movie. And part of it is Josh Cooley's directing. And so that leads me to believe that with his Pixar sensibilities and the way he crafted Toy Story 4, I think it's going to be a good movie. I'm excited. I said this on Instagram when I was reviewing Godzilla X Kong. A giant robot, giant monster movies are my guilty pleasure. I don't care how bad they are. As long as you promise me some monster robot mayhem, I'm on board. Except for Transformers The Last Night. I didn't love that one. That was not a great way to end that series. At least I think that's how they were ending it. And I loved Godzilla X Kong, except for I just think we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. When you can combine good storytelling and these crazy fun visuals of giant monsters and giant robots, let's go. I'm for it. I'd much rather a good story behind it, though. I want a good story behind it. So, a lot of people don't love the animation style. A lot of people don't love the voice casting. A lot of people think it looks like a dumb comedy movie for kids, which it is. And maybe this is because I'm not a Transformers fan. I'm not well-versed in the Transformers lore. I grew up on those Michael Bay movies. I love those Michael Bay movies. But I grew up playing with Transformers toys with my friends. I never had Transformers, but my friends had Transformers. And, oh, it's downpouring again. Okay, cool. Sorry. Okay. Anyways, where was I? Yeah, I played with Transformers. Grew up around the general Transformers culture. I knew what Transformers were. I knew Optimus Prime and Megatron. But I wasn't never really attached to the lore, never knew the lore. I know Cybertron, Autobots, Decepticons, the Beast. the Beast Transformers, the ones from the last one they did, Rise of the Beasts. I'm sorry, I forget what they're called. The ones from Rise of the Beast. I know, like there's all those. But I've never been a big fan of the lore. I never got into the lore of Transformers, but I love Transformers. So anything they make in Transformers, I'm probably going to enjoy. And while this doesn't technically fall under the giant robot movie category per se, you know, in their world, they're still giant compared to humans. So it still counts for me. I'm excited for this. I think the story is going to be great. I think the acting looks good. The visuals look great. I thought they were going to go for more of a Spider-Verse approach, like they did with that TMNT movie. But it's kind of a straight-laced animation. But, I mean, the animation is gorgeous. They're definitely trying to push the boundaries a little bit, especially with the surface of Cybertron and how it's like these transforming land masses and stuff like that. You kind of have like a retro 80s sun in the background. I think it looks gorgeous. I think it's absolutely fantastic as far as animation goes. I can understand why Josh Cooley left Pixar to go direct this movie, because one, you're playing with Transformers, beloved characters, and two, there's so much fun to be had with the animation. So it looks beautiful. I love the story. I love the cast. Love the visuals. I'm excited. I'm not a Transformers fan. I don't know the lore. I don't know what liberties are taking with the lore, but I'm on board. I'm excited. I'm very excited for Transformers 1. I found myself watching the trailer more times than I thought I would. And I think I'm wanting to look at the visuals and pick them out. There's some beautiful animation. There's some fun animation. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's a little weird not hearing Peter Cullen's voice as Optimus Prime. But again, Chris Hemsworth is doing the best he can with what he's able to do. He's giving... So I'm not worried. I'm very excited for this movie. So we'll see if it's good. Hopefully it is. It's Josh Cooley. He directed Toy Story 4. And Toy Story 4, in my opinion, was a great movie. So we shall see. Okay. Well, those are the three stories I wanted to touch on today, guys. There are a couple other things that came out that I think I wanted to mention. Oh! One last story before we go. So apparently there was this, I have to pull it up on my phone because I don't have it on my computer, but apparently there's this AI James Bond trailer for James Bond 26, the next movie that's in development. It's an AI trailer featuring Margot Robbie and Henry Cavill as James Bond. Fan trailer, and it got 2.3, as of this article, 2.3 million views. Now, if that's not a sign that the studio should very, very, very seriously consider just casting Henry Cavill as James Bond, I don't know what is. Because I want Henry Cavill as James Bond. I mean, I didn't think about having Margot Robbie in a Bond movie. She'd probably be a good villain. I think she's a villain in this trailer. I know it's a very generic trailer like this. So it's all kind of crudely put together AI images, dialogue. I think the trailer's making her out to be this seductive villain. It's a great concept for a Bond movie. Here, I'll read through some of the article just to give you guys a little more context. Despite it being totally fake, this video has racked up millions of views. Casting the video also cast Margot Robbie as a Bond girl. The creator notes, please note this is a video. This video is a concept trailer created solely for artistic and entertainment purposes. From creator KH Studios. I meticulously incorporated various effects, sound design, AI technologies, movie analytics, and other elements to bring my vision to life. Its purpose is purely artistic, aiming to entertain and engage with the YouTube community. The trailer's pretty light on spectacle. Cavill has a American James Bond accent, as the article notes. It's been unconfirmed that Aaron Taylor-Johnson is in talks for the role of James Bond, but fans have been dying to for Cavill to be part of the movie. He's making the rounds for the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I'm dying to see. That movie looks so fun. When asked about, he was asked about the role. It says, I have no idea. He told the Rich Ensign show, all I've got to go off of is rumors. The same information you have. Maybe I'm too old, but maybe I'm not. It's up to the producers, and we'll see what their plans are. If Cavill is indeed too old, the article says, it would be a rather cruel irony, given that he was reportedly considered too young to play the role in 2006's Casino Royale. That's right. And he's done well in movies like Mission Impossible, Fallout, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and, of course, Argyle, where he kind of was a bait-and-switch James Bond character. Yeah. James Bond, Henry Cavill, let's go. Like, yesterday. What are we doing? He is perfect. He is absolutely perfect for James Bond. I don't care if he's playing Warhammer. I mean, that's his next big franchise. Cast him as James Bond. He's perfect. He'd be perfect. And people want him in the role. I have nothing against Aaron Taylor-Johnson. I think he'd be an okay Bond. Henry Cavill would be a great Bond. A great James Bond. So, please. Please. Broccoli's. Wilson. Barbara Broccoli, Mark Wilson. Cast Henry Cavill. Those are the producers' names, right? I'm saying those names, right? Okay. Cast him. Please. And you will reap the benefits. You will reap the rewards of casting Henry Cavill as James Bond. Just do it. Just please do it. As a big fan of James Bond, I'm begging you, please. Please. Okay. We'll see what happens. All right, guys, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did, hit the like button. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe if you're on YouTube, or subscribe if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm working on video essays. I kind of teased this on Instagram. I am working on video essays for Ghostbusters. I was trying to get it out in time for Frozen Empire, and I was just going to do the first movie, but I'm really loving the process of, it's like making a movie, you know, or like making a franchise movie. Like, I'm studying the lore of Ghostbusters. I'm studying the behind the scenes. I'm studying the movie. Studying my own opinions of the movie, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm really excited to put this together and show you guys what I've been working on. I'm planning to do all four. So Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, Afterlife, and Frozen Empire. And then maybe down the line, I'll do the 2016 all-female reboot, because I have a lot of thoughts on that, and I think it's a very interesting story. This the whole making of that film, and the aftershock of that movie, and when you look at the director's cuts, it's endlessly fascinating. So I can't wait to dive into that one as well. But first, I'm going to do the four proper Ghostbusters movies. Okay, well, thanks for listening or watching, guys. I hope you have a fantastic day, have a fantastic week ahead. God bless, and peace out.